Good morning. I have the immense privilege and joy of reading two of the parables which tell me so much about God's love for everybody. Everybody. Here we are. First of all, the parable of the lost sheep. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home with it. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And Jesus continued with his second parable, just in case somebody hadn't got it. Now suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not get a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Now, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
This is the last in our Sunday morning series on the parables of Jesus. We have thought together about money and love and the kingdom of God. I hope some of you have enjoyed in reading along a parable each day with us too, and there's just a few more days of that reading plan to go. And next week we will start to think together about the events of Holy Week in earnest. We have our prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. We will gather here again on Thursday evening at 7 to share a simple meal together and think about the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. Next Friday, we will contemplate Jesus' death on a cross, the grief of his followers, the incredible sacrifice he made for us. On Saturday, there will be fun and crafts and games for families to come and hear something of Easter. And then next Sunday morning, we'll be here once again to celebrate together that Jesus did not stay dead. The unbelievable truth is that Jesus died for you and that after 3 days, he rose again. If you are able to come to some or all of those services, you'd be most welcome. Particularly, I know some of you will only be able to come on a Sunday morning, and that's fine. But if you come this Sunday morning when we're celebrating Jesus as King, and you come next Sunday morning when we're celebrating Jesus rising from the dead, you miss out on a really important middle bit. So I'd encourage you to, if you can, come and experience that. But back to today. Today's a special day. Today we're doing two things. We're thinking together about those parables we have just heard about lost sheep and lost coins. And we are also remembering Palm Sunday, the day we think about Jesus riding into Jerusalem as people shouted, "Hosanna, praise the Lord," as they welcomed him into the city as king. And so this morning, as we start, I have two questions for you to think about. We're going to start with this one. What is worth celebrating? We sung to Rosie already this morning. Some of us celebrate our birthdays. Vicky and I both turned 40 in May, and we're going to have a party. You're all invited. Let me do this now. You're all invited. Colour Coats Crescent Club, 31st of May in the evening. Come along. We'd love to see you there. Bring a friend. And we'll be celebrating that we've travelled around the sun 40 times each. But I wonder what sort of thing you celebrate. There are birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. But what else? What have you celebrated recently? New job? Getting to a certain milestone in fitness? Completing a race? Sometimes just getting outside of the house feels like something to celebrate. But I guess if you were going to throw a party, you'd want a really good excuse, wouldn't you? Our parables this morning involve celebration. The shepherd calls his friends and neighbours and they rejoice together. The woman with the coins does the same. And we're told that these celebrations are a reflection of what happens in heaven when someone turns their life to God. But here's the thing. Neither the sheep nor the coin are worth very much. The shepherd in the story is pretty rich, right? If you had sheep in Jesus' day, you normally had a small flock. You have 4 or 5 sheep. And this is how all the stories of Jesus talk about shepherds, sheep knowing their shepherds by name and them being really good and following it. It's because you've got a small flock, shepherd and sheep getting on really well. Sometimes you might hire someone to take them. There's stories about that too. But 100 sheep is a big flock. And losing one is probably not that big a deal. In fact, if the sheep is stupid enough to wander off, then maybe you're better off without the hassle. Actually, if I had 100 sheep, I'm not sure I'd notice if one went missing. Maybe that's what happened in the story. He was just counting them in at the end of the day and suddenly, oh, crumbs, one's gone. I don't know. Similarly, the lady's coins. She sweeps and searches until she finds it. Until she finds it. I love this phrase in both these parables. Until it is found. Now, I don't know what your houses are like, but in my house, things like this go missing all the time. And usually, it's just before we have to leave the house with the thing that has gone missing, that it is suddenly announced, I can't find my... and then Vicky has to tell me where I left it. The thing is, usually when we lose something in our house, I look for a couple of minutes and then I figure, do you know what? It'll probably turn up, right? I don't want to waste my time searching for something. It'll probably turn up. It must be here somewhere. That's fine. Carry on with my day. I'm not sure that finding 1 sheep in 100 or 1 small coin, which probably would have turned up anyway, is something we might normally celebrate. I have never, as yet, lost something in my house, and when I found it, phoned the neighbours and said, come round, I found my keys. Let's have a party. But here it is. Right, let me ask you another question. What is God like? If you bump into your neighbour on the way home today and they ask you, what is God like? I wonder how you would respond. This time last year in the lead up to Easter, we explored this a bit. I'm sure some of you remember. We were thinking about the I am sayings of Jesus, thinking about who Jesus said that he was.
But as I was preparing for today, as I was putting together the story of Palm Sunday and these parables, I couldn't help but be amazed again at who God is and what he is like. This is our God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They bought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, whilst others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus." This is our God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is our God, Jesus Christ, the promised Son of the Father, the one through whom all things were made, the one who rides into Jerusalem as the people celebrate his coming, as they dance and wave and sing and shout. Jesus Christ, King of the Kingdom of God, the one who will one day come and judge the living and the dead, Almighty, all-powerful Lord who defeated death. This is our God. This is our Lord. This is our King. This is what our God is like. Royal, other, incredible. And this awesome King is sharing food with some of his people. Sharing food with those that others have written off, with those who are all too often forgotten and left out. Here he was, the King of the world, spending time with people who would have been lonely and isolated and despised. And the religious leaders of the day condemn him for it. And so in response, he talks about the strangeness of a man who has loads of sheep, going out of his way to find one that is missing. Of a woman with some coins, lighting a lamp and searching until she finds the missing one. Of the way in which they rejoice when what is lost has been found. I used to have a recurring dream about getting lost. I think it was based on a time when I did get lost in a shop at quite a young age, which was traumatic all round. You can ask my parents about it later if you like. It's okay though, I managed to get myself found again. I'm here, I'm not still lost. But I used to have this dream of being lost, and there was this feeling of fear, the anxiety, the hopelessness, the isolation that comes with it. And you know when you wake up from a dream and you know it wasn't real, but those feelings still sort of sit there. I think we probably all have felt those things from time to time. Like we are at sea in a storm and we do not know the way to shore. Sometimes we do not even realize how badly lost we have been until we look back. Sometimes we feel lost because of the things we have done. We've made mistakes, we've hurt others, we've been foolish, and we do not know how to mend what has been broken. Other times we find ourselves isolated and alone through no fault of our own. And it was much the same for those that Jesus spent his time with, the sick and disabled, sinners and tax collectors. Some had made their own beds. Others were looked down on due to circumstances outside of their control. But where the Pharisees looked down on them, avoided them, shunned them, Jesus, the King of the world, spent time with them, shared food with them, brought them dignity and healing and comfort and forgiveness. He taught them of the Father and showed them how to be free from sin. These two parables we heard this morning are two of a set of three, and a few weeks back John was speaking to us about the third, the lost son. He reminded us that the love of our Father God is so great that he welcomes us with open arms and a party, no matter what we have done, if we turn to him. John reminded us that we are God's children, loved by his overwhelming love. But the emphasis of these first two parables is slightly different. Here we see not a father who welcomes with unconditional love and open arms, but a shepherd and a woman who care so deeply that they go in search of what was lost until they find it. This is our God, right? A father who loves us so much he welcomes us home no matter the harm we have done. A shepherd who cares for us so deeply that it doesn't matter how many other sheep he has. He drops everything to seek us and he does not stop seeking until he finds us. A God who loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son. A savior who gave up, who set aside his glory and majesty to be born as a frail, vulnerable human child. Who opened himself to hardship and pain and rejection and torture and betrayal and separation from Father in order that we could belong to him. This is our God, the King of the universe, the one who was welcomed into the city with cries of Hosanna, dead less than a week later on a cross for me and for you. God goes out of his way to seek us, to pursue us until he finds us. There are billions of people on this planet, and many more have lived and died on it. And it seems like just as the shepherd had 99 safe sheep, that maybe God should not worry about me. He's got nearly 8 billion others still alive. He has all these people. Who am I that he should care for me? And yet, the psalmist writes, he knows when I sit and when I stand, when I go out and lie down. He knows the number of hairs on my head. That's probably easier with me than with some of you. He knows the number of hairs on our heads because he knit me together in my mother's womb, because he made me and he made you. He made every single one of us. It doesn't matter how many other people God holds in his hands. It doesn't matter how good you might think you are or how bad you might think you are. God does not weigh us against each other. He loves us and he seeks after us. You are counted and known and loved by the King of the world. You don't have to be good at stuff to belong to him. You don't have to work hard. Jesus has done the hard work. He has come, and it is by his grace we find salvation. It is his gift to you. You just have to take it. And Paul writes in Romans that nothing can separate us from this great gift of God, from the love of our Lord. That in hardship and persecution, famine, nakedness, danger and sword, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul writes, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our God, A God who celebrates when what was lost is found. A God who cares for those that no one else cares for. A God who throws a party for those that others despise. A God who loves you, who seeks you, who pursues you. A God who knows you, who cares for you, who died for you. This is our God. If you want to think a bit more about that loving sacrifice of Christ Jesus that he made for us, do come back here this evening, 6 o'clock for food, 6:30 for the service starts, where we will be reflecting on the loving sacrifice of Jesus. And over the next week or so, we will think further about the great lengths Jesus went to so that you and I could be adopted into the family of God, so that we could be his children, so that we need no longer be lost, but that we might have a home in his kingdom. This is our God, a God who celebrates, who delights in your presence. A God who calls you to turn to him, to walk his path, to follow his lead. This is our God. I wonder what it is you want to say to this God today. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the band up and we are going to sing two or three more worship songs together, and I want you to use this time however suits you best. Sing along, please, if you'd like to. But what do you want to say to God? Speak to him. If you want to spend time in prayer, sitting or standing or whatever, please do. If you want to sing of the goodness of our awesome God to you, please do join in. As we worship this morning, I'd encourage everyone here, respond to this, our God. Respond to the God who seeks you, who knows you, who loves you. Let me pray. Father God, we praise you for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. We praise you that he came and gave himself for us, that we might belong to you. I thank you that when I have been far away, you have sought me and pursued me and thrown me over your shoulders and dragged me back. And Lord God, I delight in the fact that there is joy and rejoicing in heaven because I belong to you, because each of us belongs to you. Now, Lord God, as we lift our voices in song, may our praises do some small thing to express our thanks, our joy, our delight in being your children. Amen.